Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for Paul's words that remind us that we are no longer to be what the world would have us be, but we are to imitate you, to be like you, to be your ambassadors of love. And Lord, we thank you for the example of Elijah, who having a great victory was so easily led to despair and fear. And yet you, in the midst of his fear, depression, you met him, gave him sustenance, and led him to know that no matter what, you are God. You are in control, no matter what happens. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I got to say something. It is great to be here today. It is awesome to be here with you. A month with 10 children in a van. I think I'm going to change the Lord's Prayer to say, forgive us our vacations as we forgive those who vacation against us. Because it can be trying, let me tell you. Last weekend we were in Calgary, and I'm going to talk about Elijah today. And I thought I was kind of like Elijah. Where I went, we had rain. We didn't take any mosquito spray or anything like that because we were going to a place that was in a drought. There wasn't going to be any of those things, right? The forecasters were saying they were going to continue in this drought. Well, everywhere we went, they should have paid us because we brought rain. So it was a gift. But God is amazing. And last weekend we were in, on Friday night, Bruce was with us. We were celebrating our 25th anniversary, which we had last November, if you remember. We were celebrating it with family and friends in Camrose, which is about 3 hours north of Calgary. And on Saturday, we got up, we cleaned up, we went down to Calgary where we had a wedding. And then on Sunday morning, we went to church. And then Sunday, we had my mom and dad's 50th anniversary. And then we had a baptism. So I don't know, for a pastor, that's a full meal deal, okay? To have all those things in one weekend. So I'm just so thankful to be here. It's great to be back. It's great to see everyone. And I just wanted to stay. If I could, I would have just said, we don't need the sermon today. Let's just worship. Because it was awesome, wasn't it? It was great to be in the presence of God. It's wonderful to experience his presence in the midst of his people. And today I want to talk a little bit about Elijah. Because Elijah, to me, is an interesting guy because he is real. Now, you know, there are a lot of, I think you've heard some really good, Bruce talked about there was no prophet in being a prophet, right? Then you had Phil here, he was sharing, and then you had Brian who shared, and then you had Pastor Ted last week. I mean, you had some really good instruction. You've been blessed to have this great instruction. And one thing you know about people who are speaking, a lot of times they're real. They have real problems, they go through real things, and one of the things I love about the prophets is they go through real circumstances. I mean, you got to think about this. Three and a half years before what we experience here with Elijah today, he told Ahab, you're misbehaving. You're going after, it sounds kind of familiar today, you're going after things that are not of God. You're letting people do things sexually that are not of God. You're letting people sacrifice their children. You're not protecting the innocent, which is abhorrent to God. You're doing all these things which is not acceptable to God. And guess what? God's going to bring a drought on your land. And Ahab said, bring it on. And God did. Now you have 3.5 years. You got the widow who Elijah blessed. I want you to look this stuff up when you go home because I don't have time today to talk about it, but I want you to look it up. I mean, he goes and he blesses the widow. He raises the widow's son. Remember this? I mean, Elijah is, you know, God is working through him. Even during those 3 years of drought, God provides for Elijah. He provides with raven. I mean, he does amazing things to provide for Elijah. Now, you would think if God did amazing things to provide for you, that you would say, yes, I believe God is real, and he can do whatever he wants, and he, no matter what, he is in control, right? Wouldn't you all say that? I mean, I've been healed of a terrible illness. I've gone through things in my life where I'm just amazed at God's provision. Yet how fast do we forget? Very fast, right? How many of you say we forget really fast? Yeah. And Elijah went through all this amazing stuff. Then God calls him and says, now is the time to bring rain. Remember how that happened? I seem to be getting a feedback. I don't know. Something wrong with my... Remember how this happened? Maybe I'm just too loud. That's possible. Remember how this happens? What happens? God tells him it's time to go and tell Ahab we're going to have rain. So what does he do? He goes back to Ahab and he tells him, you bring out your priests, the priests of Baal, and what are you going to do? You set up your altar, you put a calf on there, and you pray to Baal, and Baal can have the sacrifice. He can have the sacrifice as long as he just kind of brings fire. You know, remember that? Mount Carmel? And they yell and scream, and kind of reminds me of the people that are all advocating for these special things. These, you know, it kind of reminds me of them. They're jumping around and they're crying out, and Elijah's taunting them. Remember this? You gotta read this. Like I said, I wish I had time to go through. He's taunting them. He's, just yell a little bit louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he went to Hawaii. He's on vacation. Just yell a little louder. Do whatever it takes. They're cutting themselves. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. Nothing happens, right? At the end of the day, Elijah takes and pours water over all this stuff. Just to make a point, right? Carves a little, you call it trough, you know, when he sneaks around the altar. Pours water on it. Does it again. Then prays. And does he have to jump around like a crazy person? No. Simply prays, and what happens? Fire. And what does the fire do? Burns absolutely, positively everything. Now you would think that this would make an impression. Don't you? You would think that if God did this in your presence, you would have this burned into your memory. This would change the way you look at things from a worldly perspective. Your worldview would change dramatically if this happened in front of you, right? He tells his servant to go and look out from Mount Carmel over the sea. Remember this? And the servant keeps coming back and saying, it's just a little cloud. He said there was nothing. They said, just a little cloud. And all of a sudden, and Elijah knows that God is real. He knows God has power. He says, you go tell Ahab, he better get home before he runs into the mud. This is my translation, okay? But read it. You'll figure this. I mean, it's not that far off. You know, you better tell Ahab he's got to get home because he's going to get in trouble. He's going to run into mud. Now, you would think, again, that if this happened to you, or it happened to me, that I would be saying, my God is so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. You've heard that song before, right? You would think that you would know that it would permeate your whole being that our God is in control no matter what, right? So he doesn't have fear of the king. He has all of the priests of Baal murdered because obviously they're false priests, right? You would think that if you were on this high, that you just saw the victory of God, that you saw all the things that you believe come to pass, and you saw the power that we pray for when we pray for the Holy Spirit. You know, he was given the Holy Spirit. He knew this. He saw the power of God. You would think that he would be excited and that nothing could dissuade him. You would think. But then this some funny thing happens. Ahab goes back to his wife, Jezebel, and whines. I don't suppose you've ever experienced this, ladies, that your husband comes back and whines. No? Okay, well, maybe. It says, Elijah! He wrecked my altar! And he killed the prophets! And Jezebel takes out her pen and writes a note. Just a note. That's all it was. Just a message. And it makes the man of God, who has been fed by ravens, who has seen the miracle of oil in abundance, who has raised the widow's child from the dead, who's just seen God not only take out the calf, but the whole altar, everything, who has just seen rain come from a small little cloud over the sea, so much so that Ahab couldn't get back to his palace. He what? Gets scared by a little note. That makes sense. Now, I understand you haven't met Jezebel. Okay, I understand that. But just tell me for a second, does that make sense? Not scared of Ahab, not scared of all the prophets of Baal, not scared because he knows God is in control, but this little tiny note from the queen sends him running. And just so you understand why the note there in the text that he went to Beersheba, which is part of Judah, is that he's up in the northern kingdom of Samaria. If you've ever been to Israel, you'll know that this is kind of like the Sea of Galilee, across the Galilee. He runs way past Jerusalem down to the bottom of Judah, which is basically where the Dead Sea is. He goes that far to the end of Judah, and he leaves a servant there. And then he goes another distance into the wilderness. Does that make sense? He's had this great victory, just saw God was in control, saw God's power, saw him do amazing things, and all of a sudden you're running to the furthest point south, which would, what would that be here in the United States? Florida? California? Texas, maybe? Probably Texas, right? Just think about this. You go to the furthest point of Texas, okay? Yeah, well, I don't know about how you travel there, but anyways, and you leave your servant there because you don't want to get in trouble with the Mexican authorities, right? And then you go, like, a distance into the wilderness, into the desert, and there you stop. And what do when you get there? What do? Pray to die. This is why I, for many years, worked as a chaplain for a psychiatric facility, because I understand Elijah. I understand a lot of people. We can go from mountaintop experience into the worst of valleys, can't we? Even if we're serving God, even if the Holy Spirit's in us, even if we see God and do amazing things in our life, we can still get easily swayed when we fear. That's why Jesus is trying to teach his disciples not to fear. What does he say so often to his disciples? Have no fear. Because fear can bind us. Fear can take away the joy that we should have in knowing that God is in control. And one of the experiences I had going to Canada was a reminder, to me anyways, of how easy it is when you're a prophet in the 21st century and you're told by God to speak the truth in love. And no matter how you speak the truth in love, the truth does not go over well in the 21st century. So I want you to understand this. Tell someone that you need to be married in order to have sex. How well does that go over? You could say it in the most loving, most sweet, most beautiful voice ever. I'm telling you, you could do this. I have faith in you. And guess what? Are they going to think that that was loving? If they're no, they're not going to think it's loving. So be careful when you quote those texts from, I wanted to preach on that one from Ephesians today, because speak the truth in love. Well, just, I'm going to tell you, if you speak the truth, even in the most loving, most caring, most sweetest way, and people don't want to hear it, guess what? Are they going to be happy? Are they going to think, oh, that was so loving? No. We're going to have the same experience. And that's what brought back to my mind as I went back to Canada, because a lot of the stuff we're going through now in the United States, we went through like 10 years ago in Canada. And I'll tell you something. No matter what you try to do to speak the truth in love, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how you articulate it, no matter what you do, when you tell people that homosexual lifestyle is sinful, when you tell people that killing babies is sinful, when you tell people that living together outside of marriage is sinful, when you tell people that God wants us to be like Him, He wants us to be holy and pleasing, He wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him, whenever you say it, even if you say it in the quietest, most loving way, do they think it's love? No. So can you kind of understand what it's like when You know, and this is what I guess what I'm trying to get at, is how we can be on a Sunday when we're gathered together like this and the worship's awesome and we're just feeling God. I don't know, I just felt the Holy Spirit here today. Just, oh, it's wonderful. You know, and we can be on this high and we can be so excited about the worship and everything else, and we can leave here and within a few hours, if not a day, we can be like Elijah and say, I want to die. Do you understand why this can happen? That's why St. Paul tells us to build one another up. That's why St. Paul tells us it's impossible to be a Lone Ranger Christian. Right? Yeah, it's impossible. Because here is Elijah, and the first mistake Elijah made was, number one, he fixated on the note. I think he went over that message in his mind far too many times. And that's the problem, isn't it? In modern technology, it's even easier. You can just hit rewind and play over and over and over again. They even have these things on there. You can just actually go back and around again. Do you notice that? It's extremely difficult in this day and age not to have that happen. How many of us have fixated or heard something and went over and over and over and over and over again in our minds? Yeah. Yeah. The news cycle. Every 15 minutes, the same thing. Over and over and over and over again. Right? It's so easy for us to look at Elijah and say, what are you thinking? What is the matter with you? You just had this tremendous victory and now you're crawling away into the desert and wanting to die? What's this Lospis do? What is the matter with you? Mm-hmm. Pardon me? She said that she was going to kill him. She said, yeah, that's why he ran away. Didn't you listen to the text? No. Should I read it over? No? We got to go. But it's a very good question, Hannah. Yes. The note wasn't a pleasant note. It was not a encouragement note, just so you understand. It was not a nice note. But compared to God, should he have ran? When compared to God's power, to knowing God is in control, should he have feared? No. But you know where he ended up? He leaves his servant in Beersheba, and where does he go, and how does he get there? He walks by himself. Brothers and sisters, don't let yourself get into a situation where you feel all alone. Don't let yourself get into a situation where you feel all alone and all you hear and all you think about is what the world says. All you think about is what people say rather than listening to what God has to say. Brothers and sisters, if it can happen to Elijah, it can happen to us, but that's not the end of the story. And again, I'm asking you to do a lot of homework here. I know, I don't want to do any homework. Well, just try it. It's not that hard. Look it up. First Kings, read just a few chapters, understand the whole story because it's an awesome story. What happens when he's under the broom tree and he says, I want to die? What does God do? Pardon me? He makes a cake. The angel comes, makes a cake. Okay, I never thought of it that way. Makes a cake. Okay, good. Changing my whole perspective on it. Okay. I never thought of the angel with the what are those called? The little angel food cake? What were those little ovens, you know, with the light bulb? Now my whole, you've destroyed the whole story for me, Nate. Now all I'm going to see is this tender bake oven or whatever they call it. I don't know what easy bake oven, you know, in the middle of the desert. Anyways. Okay. Easy bake oven. Never be the same again. The angel comes to him and says, arise and eat, right? And then he comes back and says, arise and eat because your strength can't get you there on your own. Hear that again? On your own. See, brothers and sisters, we need each other. That's why we're here. To encourage one another, to build one another up, so we can speak into people's lives and say, no matter what you're going through, our God is still in control. No matter what you're going through, our God is still God. He is still in control. He still has great plans for you, and he will come through in the end. He came through for Elijah, didn't he? Gave him enough to get to the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. And I want you to read ahead and hear what happens, because God shows himself to Elijah and speaks to him, encourages him, builds him up so he can go on being who he's called to be. Brothers and sisters, you know that God has great plans for us here, don't you? You know that there's a new school year coming and we're set and ready to go. We have a retreat in the fall. We have some really exciting things happening. God is in control. God has a plan. We're not here by accident. And we're not called to be Lone Ranger Christians, but we're called to build one another up, to work with one another, to remind each other. No matter what happens, God is in control. No matter what we're going through, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how depressed we feel, no matter how deep the valley is, we're to remind each other, no matter what, God is in control. Isn't that awesome? Our God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do for you. Amen. Let's stand as we...